Well, I didn't do much about it during the break. The only thing that I did was put together I wrote about the idea of exploring fixed space. I think we talked about it briefly.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, the conclusion was to find somehow a mechanism to do that that allows you to map always in the same place without having to go into the implementation of providing kernel support for it to guarantee that. I haven't done much about it, but I could spend some time. That would be my next direction. There is also the box. There are many things that should be done. I just want to define what the next step should be.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I put together a presentation where I used some of the slides you sent me. I'll show you that. And maybe you can give me some feedback as well. Okay, so this is the part where I talk about your work. So I give some background about software persistent memory, which was our previous work. And these are the applications which we have so far, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are the main ones.
And there's
also another one that's interesting is the one, the matrix multiplication using MPI. That uses the Canon method to multiply matrices.
Mm.
I don't know if that's relevant or not. It's, sometimes people like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure if it would be relevant for this audience. It's probably relevant for the HPC audience, not for the Intel guys. So these are the two parts. And this is, I don't know if I sent you these slides, the previous version of these slides. I'll send you this new one as well. But these are the goals for us, for the Intel project, right? And with respect to the application programmer API, what we said that in year one, we'll implement a version of persistent containers that does not have any discovery, no pointer manipulation. It will provide atomic persistence, but it would just use the existing mechanisms that we already have.
I think the bulk of that is already done.
I think so too, but I wasn't entirely sure what was what's remaining. We still have time, so it's not that we are towards the end of the year. And the other thing that they recommended was to use the PMFS backend for software, which we have used, right?
The file mapper.
And that uses PMFS? Or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it uses anything that is POSIX compliant.
Mm, including PMFS.
Right.
And how does it ensure the atomicity? No, it doesn't. Of the persistence?
Oh, yeah, it's incomplete because at the moment it's just using memory fencing.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, according to this other paper, you have to flush the cache.
But if you're using PMFS, and you're using a map with PMFS.
Yes.
And the atomicity is because we have a single update.
Yes.
That,
correct.
That needs to be made after all the other updates are made. Otherwise, the version stays the same as the previous one.
Not only that, there are a series of updates that are performed, and all of them need to be performed in that order.
Hmm.
So initially, I thought that by just using memory fencing, that could be guaranteed.
So when you say a series of updates are performed, these updates are changing the current pointer to snapshot?
These updates are changing pointers, nodes in the slab tree,
mm-hmm.
right? And different points. It could be either a data node or a metadata node. Those are done atomically as well. I implemented it atomically because I thought I needed it. I haven't spent a lot of time thinking. Maybe a more relaxed design is possible. But I just went with that because it felt that it would be correct.
Okay, so maybe if I pull up the... This one, right?
Right.
So this is for snapshotting.
Right. In this operation, you allocate these, then you do main copy, and then you atomically modify that pointer.
Modify the current pointer or the snapshot pointer?
No, because the implementation still is using the old approach in which everything in the node has always current and snapshots, and they're the same. Remember that we went to that discussion, and we determined that that doesn't have to be the case. That it's more efficient to have no snapshot pointers and initialize a snapshot pointer once you're creating a snapshot. And that has the other benefit that you don't have to create extra snapshots for some portions of the tree that don't require any snapshot because somewhere in the parent root already has been snapshot. Not sure if you remember that discussion.
Not entirely. Let me ask you something else here. What is it that you're showing? You're showing that how is a snapshot preserved in spite of updates? Is that what you're showing here?
Here,
so you have a snapshot of the container earlier,
right? Which is the initial state. The container is empty. And then you make your first allocation, which is going to change. It's going to initialize the first entry in the slab bucket. That will allocate this page and it will pick this pointer. But because the slab entry is embedded in the slab bucket. It will change the content of the slab bucket to be a snapshot. So if you crash and you recover, you follow the snap pointers and you get again an empty container, which is the consistent state.
Yeah. So here you're not showing how you're creating a snapshot. You're showing how a snapshot is being preserved once it's created, after when you update it, still are able to recover the previous snapshot.
Correct. But I think later on the same animation or a different one explains the this one.
Yeah, so I may have misnamed it. I just borrowed the titles from your presentation and changed them up a little bit, but I guess this is, maybe it's fine. Yeah, let me go here now. So here you're talking about how to create a snapshot.
Correct, yes.
How to create a snapshot. This is nice. I don't want to use the word snapshots. Pages. Okay. Here. So current state is this, right? And after sync, you need to switch snapshot to point to this guy, right?
Right.
You switch this.
Yeah, the snapshot points to the current.
And that's fenced. And that's fine, I think. You don't need to update any of these guys. Since you changed this, do you need to... You don't need to, because this is a snapshot operation.
Right. The way it works is that you walk the tree from the bottom to the top. And if the pointer of the snapshot is different from the pointer of current, then you have a snapshot. Right? The value of these pointers are different, then they're saying a snapshot.
Then everything is snapshot?
It's not that everything is snapshot. It's like,
then
this is, remember, I don't know if you probably remember this, but this is one way of implementing this idea, which is we discussed and we conclude that it's not the best one. But the way we do it is that every time, think of it as a node, every time that you add a node to the tree, for whatever reason, let's say that you are allocating new memory or you are modifying existing data, you have to add a new node to the tree. When a new node is added, let's say because this bucket is full and you have to create a new bucket, then you have a pointer to the second bucket. To that bucket, you're going to have not one but two pointers, occurring in a snapshot. And the way I distinguish if a given node has been snapshotted is by comparing those two pointers. If they're the same, then hasn't been snapshotted. If they're different, then it hasn't a snapshot.
Then it has a snapshot.
Right, because there are different pointers, right? Different bytes. So that's what you do here. You see that the pattern of this guy has the coring and the snapshot for this bucket is different. So you update it and remove the other.
Now, in this case, let's say you have not one but several
buckets,
several such buckets, right? And you updated one snapshot. You updated one of the snapshots to the current, but you didn't do the other one.
Okay.
And you had a crash.
Okay.
Then your snapshot will be inconsistent, right?
Correct. Yes.
So how do you ensure that snapshots are consistent?
Yes, because before the first operation in the snapshot is an atomic update of a flag that says basically stores. I'm gonna start creating a snapshot. You update that atomically and then you start doing all these operations. If you crash, then when you restore, the first thing you do is check that flag.
Okay.
And then based on the value of that flag, you might have to load the entire tree, meaning current and snapshot nodes for all the nodes in the tree. If it's incomplete, you load everything and you simply issue the snapshot operation again. And it will complete that. It will get it to a consistent state and that's it.
Okay, that's the part I was missing. It was not clear to me how if you have a crash in between the process, and I remember discussing it with you, but I'd still forgotten.
It was not a thing to hear.
It was not in the picture. Maybe I can add something here or here. Where do I put it here?
That is done in a container, yes.
See, that's the case.
Why do you call that doing sync?
Because there's a whole process of sync, right? Instead of after sync, there's an animation going on. It tells you how the sync happens. And then I need to not get rid of that.
But I think the first step would be to make that thing appear, right?
Oh, yes.
see, this is, I can understand, you know, that too many arrows and then.
Except, yeah, it's just, I mean, this is not that difficult. I mean, all these numbers are telling you at what points various things appear. So whatever is marked by number 1 will appear first. Whatever is marked by number 2 will appear after the transition. So this guy now is marked 4, the sync, just the sync flag. Or hold on, let me see what is actually happening first of all. That's not what I wanted. See, now the whole thing appears. Best way to do this is to add a new rectangle.
Is it better just to copy and paste that one?
No, the thing is that I cannot animate that separately. I'll just put something in here. Now I can animate this guy. If I otherwise, the whole thing gets animated as a unit. But now that I just want that part of the writing to be animated. So now this needs to, first of all, what happens? Where is appear?
You just want it to appear, right?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Very atomic.
Okay. But that's not what I want. Okay. Alright. And then this guy comes. No, I want it to be earlier.
That should be the first one to show up.
No, not the first one. After we move that, then I want it to show up.
No. It should be the first one to show up.
It shouldn't be the first one to show up because all of this already exists. No?
That's true, but that's what marks, that's the first thing that is done after you call the sync operation.
It's true, but I don't know why this part shows up later. Shouldn't it already be there?
Mm. Wow.
I don't know. So let me put it up here. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, let me use the arrows. Okay, now let's see. I don't know why this needs to move that. No idea. And why does this S look different? Anyway, it's fine. And then so, okay, I need to also then. Smaller, so it fits in the box. Okay. And then dissolve. Okay, perfect. Wow, that takes so much time. All right, I think now it makes sense. Right, and then I don't know why. Okay. Can we get rid of these move? Nanos that move. Can we get rid of nanos that move?
Do you get my email with the time series?
I did get it, yeah. I did get it. I haven't spent much time looking at it though. Let's see, why is... How do I get rid of this? Maybe I can just click on this? Two. What is... Let me see, I think I need to... One. Two. Three. Four. Five. Okay.
Then you just need to move them. They're in a copy of those.
Yeah.
I think there's already a copy of it.
What?
If you remove that one, the one that you just created, if you remove that one, I think there's a copy of that one.
Already there?
Yes, that's the one we're moving.
Okay. Oh.
I think those are all the copy.
Okay, I don't know, like too many things going on. How do I... How do I merge? I'm gonna merge stuff on this. It's weird, but there is no merge. Oh, okay, timing.
I think you can say same as, right? After you select it.
Yeah, I think so.
No,
so
we're going
to
time, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Start. Previous. Okay, previous. And previous. it's fine.
You have one more, right? This is clearing.
Oh, yes. Okay, good. Good. Okay, so I think I understand this process now much better. Okay, there's one comment I got from the Intel guys. Those guys are fast. I sent them a copy of the presentation. They already sent me there's a problem with my results. Flight number 16. Flight number 16. Yeah, this is the one. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, okay, I think that's just a misinterpretation. that's not a misinterpretation. So yeah, slide number 16, does it mean that the persistent memory API resulted in 8x slowdown? I guess the answer is yes. And do we know where the overhead is coming from?
I think so. I think it has to do that every time you allocate memory, I have to make a system call and map one page. That implementation is another one that maps a whole chunk and then all of this memory from it. It requires a system call every time that you try to allocate something or creating a snapshot. On top of that, our snapshotting technique is not the best one because create snapshots of node that don't need to be created. And don't need to be snapshotted. All that's on our head. Of course, every one of these calls is a call into the kernel. It requires a context switch.
Okay, let me write something here. What about all the faults that we need to intercept for the copy and write?
That's true, but that's very workload dependent, right?
Too many mmaps.
And the faults are only one per page. Onto the next sync.
But that would be true of the map also, right? Every time you do a new allocate until the next page is required.
Say that again.
Even when you are mapping, I think one of the reasons you quoted for the overhead is too many mapping operations.
Yes.
But that would also be one per page. So.
No. The idea is that when you allocate memory, you don't. The software using the library allocates memory, right? The library is going to make an allocation that is rounded up to the multiple of pages bigger than the size of the allocation. And that's the main source of overhead. Because I'm allocating very small objects. If when I do that, I allocate a big chunk of memory and then manage that chunk of memory in the library internally, the second request for allocation is a lot faster. Maybe it doesn't have to go to the kernel. I don't have to call one map.
I understand, but I'm saying that you would, in this case, you would map only once per page.
Only once per page, yes.
And even the copy and write faults are one per page.
Yes.
Between two sync operations.
Yes.
So I think they may be equally contributing to the overhead. It could
yes.
be, well, it all depends on how you write. If you don't write much, but you keep, well, it doesn't make sense for you to allocate if you don't write. Yeah.
Yes.
As soon as you use it, you would write something into it. That's probably what the micro benchmark does. pre-allocated chunks. It's probably one solution. And then you said something else that
the snapshotting technique is, it's not the best one. In simple terms, I think this is the correct way to describe it. Imagine that you have here a tree. If I have here so this is a tree, and you have here a node that has another subtree, and the tree keeps growing. It's
yes.
Right? Good. So P is the parent of N, and you make an update on N, so you snapshot N, and here's N prime. This guy is going to point to the same elements here. Now, every node in this subtree is called a C. Doesn't need to be snapshotted because there is an ancestor of it that has already been snapshotted.
When does C not need to be snapshotted? This is when a new snapshot request is made?
Because there's an ancestor of yours that has been snapshotted. I can update you in place. Right?
Oh, okay.
I don't have to snapshot you.
You mean you don't have to do a copy?
Yeah, that's what I mean by snapshot, creating a copy of it.
Okay. So if the ancestor is... But the thing is that you have to atomically do the update. If there are two pointers, you cannot atomically do the update. You have to atomically update C, right?
Yes.
And the thing is, if you update in place, then you're losing the snapshot.
No, it doesn't matter because there's an ancestor of you that has already been snapshot.
Okay.
Which means that if we recover, you don't exist in the previous this node doesn't exist in the previous consistent point, because you're part of the current subtree, right? You're only there because you're in the current subtree, and so in the snapshot, you're not there.
Yeah.
That's the case that I'm handling correctly, in which you are already adding more on the subtree.
Oh, so you're saying that a new current, a block that is already current is being copied again?
The subtree... For that node is being copy and write also.
Even though it's a current state?
Yes.
Oh, so we're creating many versions of current?
Not many versions of current, but current has only two versions, current and snapshot. But the subtree, rooted in current, again in this case, the elements there are also snapshot, even though they don't have to.
They're already...
because they already form part of the current state.
No, you're saying they're not... I think you're not using the right term. It's not that they're being snapshotted. They're being copied on write.
What's the difference?
Snapshot means that you are creating a snapshot version of the entire tree.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, if you create a new, let's say, node rooted, that's a new version already. It's a current version.
Right.
Which means it won't be part of the previous snapshot. And you're exploring that subtree more, where you're adding more stuff. You're saying that those new pages are also, you're also potentially copying them once again.
Right. The current version, the current subtree, written on N, any node there doesn't have to be
copied on write.
And we are doing copy on write.
Yeah.
Which requires more overhead and things like that. So that needs to be fixed.
Let's see. Okay. Okay, so this is good. Okay, that's good. Just want to make sure that I animate it so that it doesn't show up. Okay, so
I of course having quantify which one of these factors is how much of these factors are contributing to the AA.
Yeah.
But clearly those are one of the sources. Some of the sources of overhead. At least that's what my intuition tells me.
There's one too many amounts. There's one more thing which I said, right? I don't know how to too many nodes.
Copy array false.
Yep.
What does that mean?
Because you need to fault to create a copy and write page, right?
Not necessarily.
No?
No. That's only on the databases.
On databases, yeah.
Metadata pages, you don't.
You don't, right. Because metadata pages are not write protected.
Are not. This is a good point. I'm glad you mentioned that. Although it's not required for the correct functionality of the library, I think it's interesting to also have a way, so should say, enable that the metadata page to be copied and write or mem protected. Because when I was writing some of the benchmarks, and they're, as you can imagine, they're very simple software.
Yeah.
I think in one case I have a wild write.
Yeah.
And it was touching my metadata as well. And it was making a mess of everything. And debugging that was a pain in the neck.
Yeah, so for debugging, you can turn that on.
Yes.
I think that's...
And having that feature for a real application, I think it would be great.
Yeah.
Because at least it would tell you, hey, you're touching this and you're not supposed to. I'm sure you have a wild write somewhere.
Yeah, except that that should be only used turned on while debugging.
Right.
Not in steady state, otherwise it will lead to too many problems.
No.
Yeah, I think that's good. And the next thing he asked is there any baseline for this plot?
So this plot is somewhat meaningless. Because what I'm doing there is restoring... What's the baseline? Baseline is basically what to compare it to, right? There's nothing to compare it to. But the restore time also depends on the density of pointers of your container.
What is the x-axis? I mean, we're assuming an x-axis. What is the x-axis?
That's the size of the container, if I remember correctly.
Gigabytes? Megabytes.
Megabytes. So what do I have to do to make that in a straight line? Because I think it's...
What is not in a straight line?
It seems to me that when I look, my interpretation of that graph is that the restore function is linear on the side of the container.
Mm.
But if I wanted to make it linear, I would have to make what the other axis logarithmic to.
Yep. But yeah, then it would be linear. That's fine. I think that's good enough. It shows that it's seems like it's linear.
Right here, this is a restore time in the case that you don't have any persistent pointers.
Mm.
So it's basically I need to load everything, map it to the right place,
yeah.
Fix all the metadata, and at that point I'm ready for you to use it.
Yeah.
No persistent pointers.
Yeah. Now, I think... So you were saying that this doesn't include pointer fixing.
Correct.
This includes reading data in and mapping. And
yes.
That's it.
That's
so you're always mapping to static locations. You just don't have pointers at all.
I just don't have pointers.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, is this expected? I don't know what to expect here. I mean, what numbers do we expect here? I mean, I can read in a gigabyte in a second. What is it? And map a gigabyte in 1 second. Is this using DMFS at all or not?
Yes, all this
is
using
DMFS.
You
can probably point that out somewhere.
With any other file system, it should be a lot slower. Because when you create inodes and things like that,
mm-hmm.
they have to be made persistent. Right?
Yeah.
It was also run using virtual machine, but I don't think that's relevant. Because it's all in memory.
I see. I'm not sure how running it on a real machine would change this. I'm not entirely sure. Do you have any other virtual machines running on that system? Or just this one virtual machine?
I think that virtual machine is running on the servers in the room.
Cluster.
In the cluster. I think it's C1N10. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I think Ata and Russell have access to the machine too, but they were not using it. But I think it was running just...
Well, I wanted to ask you, what is the hardware specification for that machine? Because I looked up your... report,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't have the machine specification.
No? I swear that I put it there.
Or maybe I didn't look carefully enough.
In the evaluation issue, it's not there.
I didn't find it. Well, let me see it here.
Eval should be cool.
Final report. right?
Yes.
Implementation is there?
No, it's in the evaluation, I think. Experimental setup, there it is.
Oh, okay, so understood completely. Okay.
I was surprised to see that the frequency of the CPUs is very slow.
Because there are lots of cores. That's surprising, though. It's very. No, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right. Oh, that's not correct. 800 megahertz? It's not right.
That's what I read in slash pro CPU info.
Yeah?
Yes.
Did we get like stiffed with bad processors? There's no way. I mean, John Flynn did all the checks.
I mean, we can verify that very easily.
Why don't you do it and let me know?
Okay.
Because I don't think you would be
able to. I'll send you the output of slash pro CPU info.
That's inside the VM you're doing it?
No, no.
On the host?
Yes. Yeah, why would they do that?
I don't know. I mean, this doesn't sound right. 800 megahertz doesn't sound right at all. There's something wrong.
Did I specify the type of CPU?
Yeah, AMD Opteron processor, 12 core.
Why are you surprised by it?
I'm surprised by it because I remember we bought 2.8 or 3.2 or something like that. Gigahertz cores.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what it needs to have. At least that information I should have here. Okay, sorry, I'm wrong. This is something completely different. I'm looking at the wrong set of. That was in 2004. 1 gigahertz. These are much newer. It's 2004 and 2010, that's the right one, but I don't have any information.
2010. I don't know if I was here in 2010.
I'm sure you were. You were an undergrad at that time. I find everything except the thing I need. Alright. Just have too many emails. You see, if I go to the date.
Sometimes I feel that email clients need to evolve a little bit more.
What?
Do you feel sometimes that email clients, they're not very good to search? Or
there you go. Okay, 2 gigahertz. 2 gigahertz.
How much RAM does he have? Say that you have.
16 gigabytes.
No, that's, you have 32.
So these are a little older, maybe. This one says 2.4 gigahertz, 16 gigabytes memory. This one says 2.4, 16 gig memory.
If you want, I can just hear the output and send it to you.
No, you, that you can, but I want to find out what we bought. Or at least what we thought we bought. That will only be in one of these codes. Okay. Yeah, I don't see any other. I don't see any machine that has 32 gigs, but I remember we bought some 32 gig machines. This one is 16 as well. 16 as well.
Could be that more RAM was allocated to it later on?
No. No, we never bought more RAM. All right, well, yeah, I'll have to spend some time looking for this information. I remember we bought 32 gig machines, though. And if anything, they'll have faster processors. Or not, like 800 megahertz ones. And then it's Android.
If you notice that report has also another image explained as a restore in fully. Even the fixing of pointers, things like that. You had it here on your laptop.
On my laptop?
Yeah, the final report.
Mm-hmm.
See, this one explains. I don't know if that's relevant for your presentation or not.
I put it in my backup slides. I have it. This one, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Tell me what's going on here. At the first animation, the second animation, third animation, fourth animation, sixth.
Yeah.
Sixth. Okay.
I think you need to fix this as of the one. It's probably slab entry 1, slab entry 2, slab entry 3. So what's going on is that you walk the list of persistent pointers. And they have metadata for the value and location of the pointer. But the value and location is written as a function of the slab entry.
I see.
And then that's how you fix it. You have the index of the slab entry. Okay, that's cool. Okay, you start walking this. This is a persistent pointer head. The first one, you say, hey, this is the one that we're going to fix.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the location? Well, the location is the first slab entry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the offset 45.
Mm-hmm.
So slab entry, the slab entry, I know where where it is in the built-in address space.
Because we just brought it in.
Right. That the memory address pointer there, I don't know, I know where it is. So I know what the offset 45 is as well.
Yeah.
And then I just do the same for the value. -3 and 88.
Mm.
And then I just have to update the value there. Take this 8 bytes here, point it to the offset. That's it.
Don't you have the original value was, or the original value was 3,88,
and it continues to be that.
It continues to be that. Okay.
It changed.
The pointer, the value of the pointer changed, but it's still pointing to slab entry 3, except that slab entry 3 is in a different page.
Right.
And you need to update the value, okay. Okay, that sounds like, yeah, I remember having that discussion with you. That's pretty good. Okay.
So to be able to do this, every slab entry has an ID, which is unique. Every slab bucket that has an ID that is unique. And then I define some markers that in constant time, given a slab entry or a bucket entry, I know exactly what's the pattern for the inner, outer, there.
Okay. All right. I think that sounds pretty good. I think I understand this now. Hello? Let me call you back, Nami. I'm in the middle of something here. Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Thanks. Bye. Okay. What is this, by the way?
Yes, the restore operation. It's the first one.
Restore operation.
The container is always in a fixed location.
Mm.
And there, you know, when you map it, you read what's the location for the directory.
Mm.
And you keep loading like that. You keep doing the same.
Okay.
Walking down the tree.
Okay. I probably will not have time to talk about this, all about this, unless there is a question. Okay, let's see. This one is still like, I don't have an answer to that guy's question. What is the baseline here?
Baseline could be to memory map something of the same size, and yeah, just doing that, right?
But isn't that all we are doing anyway? Isn't
no, because
what else are we doing? Well, we are fixing pointers.
No, there are no pointers to fix here. But here we need to create all the metadata associated with the container and.
Mm-hmm.
We have to
so
do the mappings one page at a time.
So we are. So you're saying a single map of a large area of similar size?
Yeah, that's as good as it gets.
Okay.
That could be a good baseline.
Do you think you can get me that baseline?
For when?
For tomorrow.
The presentation is tomorrow?
Yeah, the presentation is at 2 o'clock, except that I need to send them the slides at least a couple of hours ago because they set up some remote slideshow that is controlled by some magical online mechanism, some software, and so the moderator needs to set up the slideshow.
Okay. Okay, I'll give it a try tonight.
Even if you can get it, actually, I don't even need to put it in my presentation. Even if I just have the numbers, I can talk about it during the presentation. Then that's good enough. I have some numbers.
Okay. 30 to 60.
So even if you have something by, say, tomorrow, 10 a.m., that's probably good enough. You don't have to do it tonight.
Okay. No, I'll do it tonight, just in case. I'll try to get it done tonight. Okay. I think it will be a lot slower than that baseline.
Faster, you mean?
I mean...
this baseline is doing page level mappings, right?
Right. The other
this would be slower than the baseline, yes.
Does that sound like it?
I don't know how slow, though.
It makes sense to use that as a baseline? That's as fast as it gets, right?
Well, the one is to do a really large mapping, which may not even be possible for 1 gigabyte. But even, let's say it's possible, the other baseline would be just doing a whole bunch of 4K mappings until you get to the size.
Okay.
And then there would be two baselines.
I'll try
one
to get
would
you
be
both.
Large granularity mapping and small granularity mapping.
I'll try to get you both.
What is the other baseline you can think of? Nothing? Do nothing. Sure. Yeah.
I think you can map one gig.
Yeah?
Up to 2 gigs, I think you can map. I know that because, yeah, Git has that limitation. You can have work with files bigger than 2 gigs.
Yeah. Alright, so that's good. So, yeah, I have a lot more data. I think this is important, having all of this, the overheads of this and baseline for this. If we can get it, I think that would be good. If not, that's fine too. But then I copied this from your slideshow as well.
Right. You remember the you have any slides for the different layers? I think it's they'll describe the architecture.
The different layers, yes. This one?
Yes, yes. Mm. So the file mapper is the one that we're using for PMFS.
Okay, and for all the experiments.
And for all the experiments.
Okay.
And
actually, that would be a good thing to point out here. That's fine. I'll mention it.
Okay. So, this is the one that's mapping one page at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And it grows the file exponentially.
Okay.
It's doubling the file.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, that's good to know. You told me earlier, but I'd forgotten. Okay. Yeah, these are good details to mention during the presentation. Okay, so... I think that's about the last slide, and then I go into the region manager discussion, which is, there's no data for this, unfortunately. Actually, there is something, but the problem is that they didn't implement most of the system calls. They just implemented create a region, and there's no allocation of pages either.
Yeah. I've been wanting to do a project in the kernel, but I think I'm going to have a chance to write some code in that one.
In this one?
Yeah. It's not progressing very fast, right? So.
Well, I think the issue is that there are too many unknowns at this point. It's too much in the exploratory phase.
Yeah.